Grace to you and peace from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Why this gospel lesson? Or more specifically, why this gospel lesson again? We've heard it before. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. We've heard the gospel lesson before. You've heard it preached on before. You've heard all about it. So why this passage? Why today? Why now? Why does this passage come back over and over and over again? So why do we listen again and again to the gospel reading, to this gospel reading? Years ago, when I was in Seward, Nebraska, Concordia University in Seward, Nebraska, the library there, Link Library, had a silent auction. See, I bring this up. We had auction, too. It's not quite as good as like the auction we had for Good Shepherd last night, but it was a silent auction. They had books that they were trying to get rid of, and so they had all these books laid out, and I noticed over there on one of the carts, they had two particular books. Now, they were sets, big sets, 55 volumes. One of them had 56 volumes, one had 55. It was the greatest works of the Western world. It was great. They had Plato, they had Aristotle, they had St. Augustine, Aquinas. It was a treasure trove of books. Great. But one set was published in 1993, and it looked rather nice. It was still in pretty decent shape, maybe a little dated, but not bad. The other set looked like somebody had taken it over and run it over a few times in a car. Binding was not the greatest. It looked old. It looked really old. I looked at the newer set, and I realized that everybody was going to go for that set. I looked at the other set. I looked at how much money I had. Remember, it was Concordia. It was my college years. I wasn't exactly, well, actually, I'm not wealthy now, so. But I really wasn't well. I had $15 to my name. So that's what I put down. $15 for the awful-looking set of greatest books of the Western world. Now, the nice set, the 1993 edition, went for well over $300 in the silent auction. But then I looked over at the terrible-looking set, and I won. For $15, and to this day, they're in the basement of my house. Now, when I first got the set, my goal was, I'm going to read this. I'm going to read all of them. Don't worry, everybody, I didn't make it. I made it four volumes in before I finally gave up. But the first volume of this was really interesting. It was the main editor of the whole series. And one of the things that the main editor was talking about was how in the early dawning of the industrial era, everybody thought that with more time for leisure, more time to relax, people would think more, people would process more, people would be able to read more Aristotle and Plato and the like and so on and so forth. But it's kind of ended up being a lament. Because he talked about how while that was always the dream, the reality was is that that is not what happened. As people were given more time for leisure, they filled it with more and more things. Amusing things for sure, but not necessarily higher thinking. Another author, several years later, is going to write another book that I actually found fascinating on the same topic. I didn't read it till years later, but it was called Who Killed Homer? In the book, he talks about how a lot of people will study about people, major philosophers like Socrates or Plato, and they will learn all about them. They will be able to write a biography, but yet they still don't get how he thinks and how he thought. They understand all the details about it, but they don't understand how to do it. To say it maybe in one more final way, I can say it like this. There are some great books out there that will teach you how to weld. Great books. Phenomenal books. They will tell you every ounce of information that you possibly need to know in order to weld well. And if somebody was to read that book and then get all of the equipment that they would need and go out there, my guess is they still would not weld well, especially if it was their first time ever welding ever. They needed practice. There's a difference between just reading a book, reading the abstract thoughts, and then going out and actually living it and actually doing it. And there's certain challenges that go with that. We know this text. We know the gospel lesson that stands before us today. And what a beautiful lesson it is. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. We understand the text. We understand that Jesus is calling us to a life of staying connected to the vine, staying connected to Him, reading devotions, making sure we attend church, living a life of prayer. We understand what happens if you get disconnected from the vine. You wither. And there's a lot of people that are in that status, that are in that place where they are beginning to wither. And we know what happens as they wither. For some of them, after a while, they get to the point where they think it's even the church's fault that they find themselves disconnected. They point fingers and they blame. But we might ask ourselves, what are we doing about it? Not what are we doing just to stay in the vine ourselves, but what are we doing for those that are outside of our doors that are withering this very moment? What are we doing for those that are not connected, that have not remained connected, that have fallen away? Are we venturing outside of our doors and sharing the gospel? Are we talking to people over and over again? What are we doing? How are we doing this? And even more, we know that the text tells us that our Heavenly Father prunes the vine. And we know what that means in our lives. And quite frankly, for those of us that have lived long enough, we know what that feels like. And yet, how many of us, when we're in the midst of that pruning, in the midst of trials, in the midst of suffering, how many of us really think back to this passage? Yes, we know about this passage, don't we? We know all about it. But there's a difference between just knowing the abstract thoughts versus living this passage out. And yet we as Christians are called not just to know a bunch of stuff. We don't just know about Jesus, but we hear His Word. We hear His Word given to us, a Word proclaimed, a Word that is not just about Jesus, but a Word that is Jesus. A Word that is Jesus to us. Yes, you are connected to the vine. You gather here to hear God's Word again and again, that you may hear the gospel message, Christ's Word, that He died and rose again, that He forgives you of your sins. That's right, He forgives you. Not just an abstract thought. Not just something that's pretty to read in a book, but something that actually applies to you right now, right this moment. And so how does that change us? How does that change the way we live, knowing that we are forgiven, knowing that Christ died and rose again for us? How does that change the way we live? How does it change what we do and the way we walk? For each of us, it's going to be a little bit different. For each of us, we are in different places and stages in our life. Maybe it'll cause us to want and desire to come to church just a little bit more, improve our prayer life, read Scripture a little bit more, but maybe it'll also cause us to get into those conversations. Those conversations that can be so challenging, so tough, so hard. And yet we know that as forgiven and redeemed people, that we are called all the more to proclaim that message. Maybe that word will call us yet again to repentance, the fruit of the vine, that we would be called to repent. That is to turn from our sin, but to turn to God, to the very work of the Spirit. But the good news is always there. We are just the branches, but we're connected to the vine. Our sustenance does not come through us. Our sustenance does not come by how well we do or how powerful we are. It comes through Christ Jesus and through Him alone. And so we read this passage again. Yes, we are reminded of all the things that we need to do, but we're also reminded of that wonderful and great message. Jesus is the vine. Jesus is the sustenance. He is the forgiveness. He is the life. And He gives it freely to us. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, please stand as we now continue by confessing our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.